strong deliverer.
Strong deliverer.
Ha ha.
We lift you high.
Lord, we celebrate you. We acknowledge you. We worship you. We look back in 2019 and truly we say you have been faithful. Shalom, our peace. Our strong deliverer. Where would we be today without you? We express our gratitude, not with our hearts, with our song, with our consecration, dedication, to continue to do your will, so that you will see in us the travail of your soul, and indeed you will be satisfied. There could be no greater thanksgiving than that. An appreciation of the sacrifice you made and our benefit of the same to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name. Father, we enter your word with reverence. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, asking for fresh unction from heaven, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so that I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. And then put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all those who will cause to hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, all over the world. So that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, that our wills become more humble, our minds be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray, as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great measure, Lord God, to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yes, power that will free men, so that they'll become only. So that as I speak, Lord God, they will be free, set free to become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. Father, we pray you will grant me mercy to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And also in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings, agreed and said,
amen.
I have a very important message to close this year. And it is entitled, Developing the Fruit of the Spirit. It's a very carefully chosen topic. The Holy Spirit himself wants this truth to be embraced by the body of Christ and given the seriousness that it deserves. You hardly hear of teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. We hear on the gifts of the Spirit, we hear on the power of God, we hear on miracles, but hardly do we hear what I would call a comprehensive teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. And so I have been instructed and assigned to do that in closing of this year. This message was dropped into my heart many weeks ago. And I have taken time under the Holy Spirit through prayer and study of the Word to develop it. It was dropped in me as a seed, and by His grace and mercy, He has helped me to develop it. We're going to start with understanding what the fruit of the Spirit are. Many Christians don't understand what the fruit of the Spirit are. Many people think they're just nice emotions. Well, they do affect your emotions, but they're not emotions. They're spiritual forces that can and should affect your emotions. But their origin is not emotional. Their origin is spiritual. Let us go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And there we have a comprehensive list of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is mentioned in many places in the New Testament. But here, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, gives us what I call a comprehensive, that is complete. It's a complete list. In other places, you will hear of righteousness, you will hear of peace, you hear of joy, you know, but you don't get the complete list. But here, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, gives us a complete list. It's a textbook epignosis definition. What I mean by the word epignosis, epignosis is a Greek word that means perfect, precise, exact knowledge. There's another word in the Greek, it's called gnosis. Gnosis just means knowledge. Epi is a prefix. Just like we have prefixes in English, there are prefixes in Greek. It means epignosis. It means precise, complete, exact. And this is what we have here. Let us read together. But the fruit of the Spirit is, he is exact, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. The actual Greek word is faithfulness. You know, let me just, I have to go by the Spirit. You know, a lot of people, faith is not a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a trust in God, the spiritual force that creates. So that's why it's not really faith. It's faithfulness. Faithfulness means somebody who is loyal. You could use loyalty to there. Faithfulness. Somebody, when you tell him to do something, he's faithful. He will do it the way exactly you told him to do it. They're faithful. Faithfulness. I didn't hear you. Meekness, temperance, or self-control. And it says, against such, there is no law. I don't want to get off into that, but let me just make one comment on that. That means that if you operate these things, if these are the things that control your life, you can never break any law. It's impossible. You can't break any law. There is no law. There is no legislation. It's just another word for law. But there is nothing. You cannot hurt anybody by doing these things. There is no law against it. Nobody can come and say, "Oh, you walked in love, or you walked in joy and peace, so you hurt somebody." There is no law against it. And I'll tell you the reason why. They are an expression of God's character. Amen. They actually summarize what God is like. In actual fact, people say love is the fruit of the Spirit, which it is really. All these other things, the joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience, are simply ingredients or components or parts of love. And I believe that this is one of the most important things the church needs to learn and to take seriously. We mention it, but we don't prioritize it and we don't emphasize it as we should. We have not given it its place of importance, the primal place it should have in our thinking, and watch this, in our desires. You don't see people pursuing the fruit of the Spirit. You don't hear things like that. They pursue success, they pursue money, they pursue this, they pursue that. And those things are not wrong, but really, if you will get the fruit of the Spirit, you get everything. Amen. As I will show you by the Spirit of God as we go along. And so, this is what the fruit of the Spirit are. Now, you must understand
that these are spiritual forces. The word force is a term that you need revelation, you need understanding to appreciate what we're talking about. When we say it's a spiritual force, what we mean is that it is a power. That's another really synonymous terms, you know, that is emanating from inside God, that work on God's will, mind, emotions, his body, his circumstances, that make him behave the way he behaves. It's a, they're spiritual forces. Let me illustrate with two examples. This is true of all of them, but I will illustrate from the Bible. Jesus told some people, his disciples actually, he said, if you go to a house, or you go to go and, you know, it was when he sent them out in twos, he said, if a son of peace be there, he said, when you speak, he said, let your peace rest upon it. He said, if there is not a son of peace, he said, let your peace return unto you. What happens when you have sound and you speak to a wall? What is it? It bounces back. It's an echo. It's a force. You know, all the different energies, physics is really, it's very simply the study of physical energy. Very simple definition. That's why we have mechanics, which is the study of mechanical energy and motion. We have light, which is study of light energy. We have sound, study of sound energy. We have heat, the study of heat energy. We have electricity, the study of electrical energy. And then recently, we now have the study of atomic, you know, and nuclear energy and quantum energy, you know, at the microscopic level. It's all energy. So sound is an energy. So when you speak physically now, the sound goes out of your voice. If there are things that can absorb the sound, it absorbs it. If there are things that cannot absorb the sound, it will bounce back. That's exactly what he said about peace. Peace is a spiritual force. But you know, the same thing is true of joy. The same thing is true of kindness. The same thing is true of gentleness. They are forces. They come out of God. They are what is inside God that makes God God. Love, the Bible says God is love. So these fruit are components or parts of the love of God that make up the love of God. Just like you have the seven colors of the rainbow that make up white light. White light is made up of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Right? So when you put all of them together, you get white light. If you take it through a prism and all of that, you can, you know, dispersion. You can disperse the light. In other words, you can make different. You know, you can take the white light and then you can divide it up into its bits. When you take love and you take it through the prism of revelation, you get all the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self. And I'm going to prove it to you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 8. You know, I'm doing, by the grace of the mercy of God, I want to do something that's very comprehensive. I would like you to give this to me in the Amplified Bible. This is the King James, which is beautiful, but I want to look at this in the Amplified. So, because the Amplified calls it what it is. It is love. Now, watch this, Pastor G and Mommy. Love endures long and is patient and kind. You've already got three of the fruit of the Spirit right there. No, in fact, four. Endurance, which is long-suffering. Hello? You see patience? You see kindness? Amen? In one statement. But he hasn't finished. Now, watch this. Love is never envious, nor boils over with jealousy. But what is the root of envy and jealousy? Selfishness, self-centeredness, and pride. So right there, you see humility. It's not called humility, but that's what it is. I ain't done yet. Look at it. Is not boastful or vainglorious and does not display itself haughtily. That's humility. It's a part of love. You know, love is not arrogant. That's why God can't stand arrogant people. The only person that has a right to be arrogant is God. And he is not. The most brilliant person in the universe is God. The wisest person in the universe is God. The most powerful person in the universe is God. The richest person in the universe is God. You haven't seen money yet. Yet God is humble. So it really gets to him when he sees created beings who don't have 1/1,000,000th of what he has, and then they start getting proud. It's one of the things why Lucifer fell. What the main cause, the root cause of Lucifer's fall was pride. I would be like the Most High. What did he have? He had one or two planets. Hello? That God made and gave him. He said, I have set thee, you know, the anointed cherub that covereth. He said, I set you so. Your tablets were prepared in the way you were created. He said, but your beauty and your, you know, it got to your, this is a little bit paraphrase. It got to your head. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the reason of thy traffic. In any created being, no matter what you have, always remember where you got it from. And the person you got it from is humble. I'll tell you something on the side. Satan and his gang, let me call him that. Principalities and powers, all of that. They, you know, the devil knows a few things. He doesn't know everything. Because he got his wisdom from God. He summed up the sum of wisdom. So he got his wisdom from God. And he has a little bit of insight. Satan is no fool. Make no mistake about that. The Bible says he summed up the sum of wisdom. Perfect in beauty and wisdom. You know, they saw these scriptures in the Bible. A virgin shall conceive. You know, they had an idea. They didn't understand it all. You know, that God was trying to do something. You know, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. That's why immediately after the fall, he attacked women. And he has been attacking them up till now. It's only where Christianity has been venerated that womanhood has been allowed to come up. All other cultures and religion, they put women down. Women are supposed to be playthings of men that they use. That's why they like, you know, polygamy. So you have about four or five of them. When you feel like it, you call this one. When you don't feel like it, as if they have no life. That they themselves are not individuals that are entitled to an identity. It's one of the reasons why people are fighting all this gender something. Chill. Jesus has taken care of the gender issue. Amen. Amen. Stop fighting. Jesus has fought for you. In Christ, there is no male or female. Everything a man can be, in Jesus, you can be. So stop fighting your husband. Oh, free of charge. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it's one of the reasons why these things happen, you know, because they don't understand who they are in Christ. Any woman who understands who she is in Christ will have no complex to any man. Everything a man has, you can be in Christ. But there's still order. Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the woman. He's not the tyrant. It's just a divine order that God has put there. There are certain things men can do, women can't do. Watch this. And there are many things women can do, men can't do. The woman is the man with the womb. Only the woman can have children. But she cannot have it without the seed of the man. So they are interdependent. Consequently, God has made it so that they should submit to one another in the fear of God. None of them can stand on their own. Paul says this, isn't it? You know, I don't want to get over that because of time. You know, he says, neither is the man without the woman or the woman without the man. He said, but all are same in Christ. Anyway, how did I get off on that? Praise the Lord. Holy Ghost, thank you, darling. Amen. So Satan knew that women, you know, was going to be the seed of the woman. See, woman doesn't normally have a seed. The seed comes from the man. But the Bible says it was the seed of the woman that was going to crush the head of the serpent. So he tried to subjugate women down through the centuries and millennia to make sure that whenever that seed comes, he'll be able to get him and, you know. But the point I want to make is this. None of them, because they are so proud, could ever believe that God will become a man. They didn't. They couldn't believe it. They could do. Satan could. Because Satan can. He can never do that. What? You? Second person of the Godhead? Then you become like an ordinary man? Helpless? A baby? Come on. You see, his unbelief of the plan was what made the plan work. They couldn't believe it. He could never believe that God could humble himself like that. Because it's something Satan can never do. Satan is so proud. Humble himself. Took on the form of a servant. And allow his creation to be ordering him all over the world. If it had been Satan, he would have shown you Pepe. So, God is humble. It's one of the most fundamental characteristics of God. That is why it is the key to grace and mercy. You know, I don't care how much knowledge you have. If you don't have this virtue, this character of humility, God will diminish the measure of life and power given to you because he knows you cannot be trusted with it. That is why he gives more grace to the humble. And he resists the proud. Next verse. It is not conceited. Here we go again. Arrogant. Or inflated with pride. Humble. It's one of the characters of God. This is telling us what love is. Not your definition of love. Not what you think love is. Love is not kissing girls. You know, when we were kids, there was love. Love is doing it. Love is doing that. Love is doing this. You know, that's not what love is. This is what love is. I got another tweet. This is the kind of love that will make your marriage work.
Amen.
The kissing won't make your marriage work. It has its place, but it won't make the marriage work. This is the true love. It's not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. What makes people rude? What makes them unmannerly? Money? Pride! Thank you, darling. The Bible says, the rich answereth roughly. He said, the poor man will be in treats. Hey, Joe. Hey, Romilowo. Rich man said, oh, oh, low, low. In our language, that means you don't have money and you don't have spiritual power. What are you basing your confidence in? That's why he thinks he can talk to you anyhow. They're rude, and it's because of money. When they have money, what in our language, that means they would have swore. They're puffed up. You know, and they talk to people anyhow. It's pride. Watch it. Anybody who is rude and unmannerly is proud. And he's rude to the people and he's unmannerly to them because he thinks he's superior. Because of his bank account. He said, the rich answereth roughly. Can you see how many verses he has spent on humility? We started from verse 4. We're in verse 5 now. The first three something is all humility, humility, humility. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. You know why? It's kind and it's gentle and it likes to listen to the views of others. Amen. It's sensitive to the feelings of others. It's part of gentleness. It's part of kindness. That's what love is. Kind. As God has ever, you know, I'm a human being created by God. God is master of everything. The Alpha and the Omega. But he cares about what you think.
Amen.
And when he wants to do something, say, shall I do a thing and not tell my friend Abraham? He doesn't. He's under no obligation to discuss anything with Abraham. All he has to say is that this is what I'm doing. End of story. Is he not master and Lord? Is he not God? But not God. Does not insist on his own right or his own way. He said, Abraham, come. We got something to talk about. There's some very bad boys in that place called Sodom. And it's come to our attention. They're doing such terrible things. We have to make an example out of them. What do you think? Abraham said, well, Lord, you know, a lot of bad boys there. But, you know, this is Olubi's translation, you know. You know, but my cousin's out there. His name's Lot. And he's got a wife, he's got kids. You want to kill everybody? You know, wipe them all out, including my cousin? He didn't say it like that, but he said, if we find 50 guys there who are all right, he said, we spread, but of course I will, because of you. God is kind. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. God is so. I want to be more and more like God. He was sensitive. Why do you think he came to discuss with Abraham? Because he was thinking about Lot.
Yes.
I'm not talking about Abraham, I'm talking about God.
Yes.
God was thinking about Lot. That's why he came to discuss it with Abraham. So, how are we going to help this silly boy? who went to Sodom because of money. Even though he deserves to die, I won't let him die because of you. There are people in your family that are going to be saved because of you.
Amen.
God will be thinking about you and saying, because of Tunji, that's his cousin over there, even though he doesn't know anything.
Amen.
You know, I'll come and talk to him about it and see what we can do to help him. Does not insist on his own right. It was his right to destroy the place. They were in homosexualism, all kinds of rubbish. He said, mm-mm. Okay, what do you think? I was like, 50? He said, no, fine. Abraham thought about it. We won't find 50. These boys are not just bad, they're bad. So he now went down to 40 and he thought about it again. And 30, 20, down to 10. And you know, there was no one time God got irritated. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, if it was you and I, you have 54. After all, I've agreed for firm. And Abraham thought he was pushing it too far. You know, you see, because we human beings, we think God is like us. God is not like us. We are supposed to become like him. He thought that by that time God would be irritated. He said, I am dust and ashes and all. God was afraid. I'm sure God was just smiling. What's wrong with this guy? If you went down to 1, I'll still say yes. If he had gone down to 1, he would still have said yes. And it's in the Bible. The Bible says, go through the streets of Jerusalem. If you can find one man, so I will spare the place for him. And God doesn't change. He was not different in Jeremiah than he was in Genesis. I am the Lord that changeth not. He would have said yes. If Abraham pushed the thing to one, he would. So sometimes, you know, because we think God is like us, we don't push things of God because we ourselves, we have not imbibed enough of God's character. So we don't know that God can be as kind as that. We think God is like us. God's not like us. We're supposed to become like Him. The man is kind. He's loving. He's forbearing. He's long-suffering. He has no pleasure in the death of the sinner. He is looking for a way to save the wicked. I didn't say the righteous. The wicked. That's why I always give everybody a long rope. And people think God is sleeping. They think God, he said, do not consider, you know, the long suffering. He said, you know, don't take it as, you know, he says, the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. He says, you know, count not it as slackness. That's the biggest mistake you can make with God. The fact that he's because he's kind. And he's his character. And, you know, I by the grace of God, I'm talking about myself a little bit, by the grace and the mercy of God, God's helping me to become more and more like Him. You know, I go out of my way to be patient with people. I'm not a fool. And I'm not stupid. I'm trying to be like God. Is there a way we can save them? Maybe if I waited a little bit more, something good can happen that can help them. It's not for lack of indecision or lack of, you know, no. I'm just trying to be like God. That's how He is. I learned these things over the years as I fellowshiped with God and I read my Bible and I got to understand Him. God is very kind. He's very patient to the point where men may think He's foolish. But He's not foolish. So that when He is judged, He will be justified. Because the books, even God's book will be opened. And you will see how much patience God had with you. All the people who go to hell will agree that they went by themselves. Because the books will be opened. And all the things will be, the record will be there. And you see how far God went to save you. Let's keep talking. Let's get back to. Does not insist on his own rights. It's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. That's what Abraham thought. God wasn't touchy. It takes no account of the evil done to it and pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I just got another tweet. Abraham, God's friend, I'm going to give you a son. And look at the stars. All that will come from him will, this you can't count them. All right, Lord. Thanks. God blesses him in silver and gold. But the son doesn't come. So Abraham and Sarah have a meeting. Well, I know he said so, but here we are. We're hitting our 80s, no son. Mid-80s, no son. All right. Abraham, let's help him. After all, he said he will be your son. So this is my house girl, Hagar. You go into her. The child that she has will use it. I want to ask you a question that you probably haven't thought about. I got a tweet. So that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Why didn't God say anything? Is it not the same God who appears to Abraham?
Yes.
Why did he say, shut up, the two of you? What nonsense? Nonsense was this on there? He could have. Yes. He could have appeared in a vision. Yes. God does not insist on his own rise on way. Yes. He didn't agree with them. He was displeased with what they were doing. He was just watching. They go ahead with the plan. They have Ishmael. May you not have an Ishmael in Jesus' name. I got another tweet. Not to have an Ishmael, you need long suffering, forbearance, patience. If it hasn't happened God's way, wait. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Ah, Ishmael, God didn't say a word. But he was angry. See, be angry and sin not. He didn't like it. But he didn't say a thing. They went on 14 years. Ishmael is a young man. You know, little boy. You know. So when the time came and he was 99 years old, God did what you and I thought he should have done 14 years earlier. He appeared to him. Why did he appear to him 14 years earlier? Because of God's character. And then to show Abraham his foolishness. When he appears to him, you know what he says to him? He said, "My name is El Shaddai." That's a rebuke. "I am the God that is more than enough." This is an Olubi translation, but it's correct and accurate. "I am the, my name is El Shaddai. I am the God that is more than enough. Why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you wait? Now, stand up. Be upright." He's angry, but didn't sin. "Be upright and walk before me. I told you, you're going to have a son. Oh, let Ishmael live in thy sight." I'm trying to tell you the kind of person God is. You know, if it was you and I, what is shy here? Mumbes or also Ishmael. I'm telling you how to treat your brother and your sister, how to treat your husband and your wife like God. He didn't do that. God pretended as if he didn't say that. He said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." Don't worry about God is nice. Don't worry about Ishmael. I'll make him a great nation. I will make him a great nation, but he will not be the inheritor. That is for Isaac, the child of promise. It's only God that deals with people like that. If it was you and I, probably God would have finished Ishmael that day. If you had God's power, many of you, what would you have done to Ishmael? Kill him. Barrier. That's why you don't have the power. Yeah, don't worry about Ishmael. Don't worry. I'll take care of him. But what I said to you is what we're going to do. You're going to have a child by the Spirit. Now, you're 99 years old, go circumcise yourself. And as I said, at the time of life, I will return and I will visit Sarah and she will have a son. Amen. The woman laughed. Put yourself in God's position. What would you have done if... Otopura? Yeah, God said, "You laughed." Emike, hello, magic. I didn't laugh, oh. If it was you and I, we would have been boiling over. Oh, in front of my very Korokoro presence. In front of, right there. You know, God is so kind. God said, "But you laughed." And that's the end of the story. Become like God. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. He didn't condemn Sarah. He didn't shout at her. He didn't treat her. You know, he just said, "But you laughed." And then went on with the plan. Many times we destroy the plan with our anger. Even when people don't do everything right, have these things: long suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness. It will accommodate human frailties. Accommodate human failures. That's how God is. It's not self-seeking. It's not touch your favorite. It takes no account of the evil done. It pays no attention. Abraham had gotten to unbelief, but he didn't pay attention to it. It did not stop the covenant. You see, because deep down in Abraham's heart, he was a good man. And he believed God. When God showed him those things, he believed. But down through the years, because of the flesh and all of that, so when God didn't hold that against him. All he said, go and circumcise yourself. And he did. He said, go and go to your wife. And he did. And a 90-year-old woman started looking like a young girl. And they had a baby. God did not let their unbelief and their failures and all of the things talk, and then spoil the whole plan. That's why I got another tweet. Love never fails. That's why it doesn't fail. Verse 6. It does not rejoice. I didn't hear you. And injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. God loves righteousness and justice, and he hates, injustice and oppression. You see, God showing kindness to the people who are downtrodden and bringing severe judgment on those who are on position and they like to oppress other people. He doesn't like it. He does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness. But he rejoices when right and truth prevail. That's why you see him behaving sharply. God reacts sharply to injustice. And then he's kind and benevolent to the oppressed and to the weak. It's his nature. Remember the parable? The guy went to the king, couldn't pay, said, sell him! And his wife and his children. And the man, praise God. Then the guy goes out and finds his fellow servant who is owing him 100th or 1,000th or 1,000,000th of what he was owing the king. Give me what you have. I too, I will help you. And throw him into the jail. So they came to report to the king. That's how God is. He's sharp when it comes to injustice. He said, go and call him for me. Go and call him for me. I forgave you all that debt. Why could you not forgive your fellow servant who is owing you such a small thing compared to what I have forgiven you? Deliver him to the tormentors. That's the other side of God. Until he pays everything. God reacts sharply to injustice. Don't go there. Don't be an oppressor. Don't try and, oppress other people and all that. God doesn't have two standards. He has only one. He's going to judge you the same way you judge other people. If God has shown you kindness, show kindness to others. If you try and go hard with them, God will go hard with you. And there's another aspect about God. His justice. When God does righteousness and justice against injustice and unrighteousness, particularly when people have pushed that thing to that far, he gets to a point where nobody can beg him. He has that all. It's in the book of Revelation. He said, and the glory of God filled the temple, and no man was able to enter the temple until all the plagues were fulfilled. He has that. Because of injustice and unrighteousness. God doesn't like people to oppress other people. He doesn't like people to use their position or their power to oppress other people. When you do that thing and you dishonor God and you dishonor your fellow man, when God's judgment comes, it's sharp, swift.
Maybe we remember this silly boy. His name is Belteshazzar. He's the son, he's the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. But contrast the way God treated Nebuchadnezzar and the way God treated Belshazzar. Belshazzar was a wicked man. But somewhere in his heart, there was some good. God said, cut the tree. He said, but don't remove everything. Leave the stump until he knows. And he knew. He got to know. And he repented and said, now I know, you know, those that walk in pride is able to abase that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. And God flourished him. The whole palace heard. The whole Babylon heard how the king had become a madman. And God brought him back and restored his sanity and put him back on his throne. His son came. Then his son's son came. It was not hidden from everybody. Then this silly boy. If they had a party that night, God would not have said anything. Men are always having parties and misbehaving. That's no issue. But I don't know what entered his stomach. The thing Nebuchadnezzar did not dare. They brought all those things from Jerusalem. They kept them somewhere under lock and key. Because they knew that the God of heaven was the God of the Jews. Nebuchadnezzar didn't dare. He didn't dare touch any of those things of the temple. Especially after he had been dealt with for 7 years. Then this silly boy. I don't know, maybe it's the vibes of the party. Of all the things you could drink with, it is the vessels that they use in the temple. Can he come from? I don't know. They say, they that the God wants to kill, he makes mad. There are so many cups in Babylon. They had gold, they had silver. There are so many cups he could use. Why did it enter his head? That's what pride does to you. That is the cup that they used to serve in the temple. That's the one you want to use to drink wine. They didn't stop there. They now raised their cups and sent a toast to the gods of wine. It was swift and instant. There was no chance for repentance. The hand came down. You have been weighed in the balance. I have been wanting tonight. Not tomorrow. Tonight. Your kingdom will be taken from you. And so it was. The guy called Daniel. Come and interpret. Daniel came and interpreted. He said, this is the Holy Spirit's translation. Maybe Daniel will be able to pray for him. He gave Daniel some gold beads. He says, take your gift to yourself. Take your gift to yourself. Prophet, you should know when to reject gifts. Some of us, our mouth is too big. There's none they ask us that we will stick it inside. And what you stick inside will not let you say with the word of God. There are some people you say no to. I am not taking that gift. He ministered to him. He told him in interpretation, he said, keep your gifts to yourself. He said, tonight, you're a dead man. That's the other aspect of God. Let's move on. Oh, God, help me. God, help me. Everybody say, God, help Pastor. How many people are learning something from this? How many think that this message is very important? Okay, so let's go on. It does not rejoice. I didn't just know, but rejoice when right and truth prevail. Verse 7. We're almost done. This. Love bears up on anything and everything that comes. That's long suffering. The Yorubas have a word for it, ifarada. The ability to forbear. Many people have not developed that thing. Any top, once the top person, they get irritated. It's one of the characteristics of God. That's why so many people are walking around alive today. Because God is patient. And he bears upon that thing. Have you heard people abuse God? And no lightning from heaven falls on them. Blaspheme! And the guy will go home. He will eat, he will drink, he will sleep, he will wake up. The sun will shine on him the next day.
The rain will rain on him. He said,
bear up under anything and everything comes in the hope that they will repent. Am I helping anybody here? Are we learning anything here?
He's ever ready to believe the best. He doesn't say he believes the best. He says he's ready to believe the best. There's a big difference. God is not stupid. You know, the Bible says that, you know, he says that if the guy comes, he says he has seven abominations in his heart. He said, believe him not. So it's not, you're not gullible. God, love is not gullible. But it is always giving room so that he can, so he's ready to believe the best. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakness. Stop saying, I'm tired, oh. Otisumio. After all, I'm only a human being. You got it wrong. You're a human divine being. Listen to the word of God. Jesus was God and he became a man so that we that are men can become like God. That's the gospel in macrocosm. God became man so that man can become like God. It's perfectly accurate. God became like man so that man can become like God. Shekinah. So that's how you should behave. So this conclusively, and I took time to go into that, proves that all the fruit of all those nine fruit that you find them inside there. So that's what love is. Love is patient, kind, righteous, all of those things. Love never fails. Look at verse 8. We didn't get to verse 8. Let me just, it says love never fails. That's the beginning of verse 8. Right. It never fades out. That's why it doesn't fail. The characteristics of love are so strong and they're so powerful. It sustains God through whatever the circumstance and situation may be. If you look at the Bible, you will find that God made the promise of coming of Jesus in Genesis chapter 3. It took another 4,000 years, not 2 weeks, for the promise to be fulfilled. He kept watching over it. And he would have hope in this person and show this person they will misbehave. God will go. It's like a navigator. When you miss the road, he will go and reroute you. You know, David was very good, you know, but David messed up. You know, and then, you know, Solomon came. Solomon too messed up. So he had to start looking, you know. And finally, got Hezekiah, that one too messed up. You know, they blessed them and all of that. Then he will look in the future and see how he can get this one. Finally. That's how you should be in your faith. Should never give up. Even if something fails, get up, reappraise the situation, and see how you can walk again. Never let it come out of your mouth and say, I'm tired. I can't go on. Those are languages that are foreign to love.
Amen.
Love will always find a way. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. Okay. Now, God have mercy on me. Jesus is Lord. If you develop and perfect the love of God, ultimately perfect God, God will trust you with the Spirit without measure. The reason why God has not trusted men with this power that we see in the ministry of Jesus up till now, everything we've seen from Pentecost till now has been a subset. In other words, it's been a smaller thing. Even the Acts of the Apostles, they did well. But you still see some things in Jesus' ministry you don't see there. You don't see anybody walk on water in the Acts of the Apostles. Hello? Hello? We see the blind see. We see the lame walk. We see the dead raised. We see Dorcas. We see the boy that fell down from the loft. But they were quick. They're not dead. Maybe a day with Dorcas, maybe some hours. The boy was maybe 10 minutes, you know, and Paul raised them from there. I am not playing down those miracles. They're great. Don't misunderstand me. But you don't see anything close to what you saw in Jesus' ministry. You don't see them in a coffin like the son of the widow of Nain. And you certainly don't see them buried for 4 days. That's another level. Even the Lord Jesus. And this is something we need to learn. Even the Lord Jesus grew into that. He didn't start at the beginning of his ministry. When he first came out of the ministry, he raised Jairus' daughter. Then, widow of Nain. Then, Lazarus. He didn't just go and start with Lazarus 4 days in the grave. It's completely... I'm going to take an expression from what my wife has been sharing. We're going to share this in the new year. It takes a quantum leap. It's a quantum leap to get there. You can't get there. You have to jump over many forbidden energy gaps in order to get to that place. But that's the reason for this message. God wants us to develop the fruit of the Spirit so that we can be trusted with the Spirit without measure. Then we can walk on water. We're going to see two glories. We're going to see the glory of the power of God, and we're going to see the glory of the wisdom of God. The glory of the power of God will involve instant healings. Like when Jesus prayed for Peter's mother, she said she had a fever. He said, he's just come from the synagogue. This is just shortly at the beginning of his ministry. He said, he rebuked. He said, and I like this. The fever left her. So fever has a voice. He has an ear. The fever left her. And said, she instantly. It was instant. That's the power spirit without me. It was not gradual. The person who had fever, you know, you would still be weak and all of that. They said, instantly she got up and she served him. Now watch this. I got a word for you. The hour is coming in now is for those that God can trust, who will develop fruit of the Spirit that can be trusted with the Spirit without measure, you will have instant healings from fever to cancer.
Amen.
I didn't hear you.
Amen.
You will lay hands on internally. They will go and check it immediately and it's gone.
Amen.
Totally gone.
Amen.
Then there will be creative miracles. Eyes will open. Pop. You know, the eye is there, but it's cataract or there's something wrong with it. So you pray and then, you know, then the eye is healed. The blind will... This one, there is no eye socket. There is no eye. The socket is totally empty. And you pray and instantly, the two eyes are created instantly. That's what we're talking about, folks. The hand is withered. It's not broken. It's not amputated. It's withered. So, have you seen people, these deformed beggars, where the hand is there, but it's like very tiny hand because it's malformed. Is this clear? And you pray, and it grows out to a full hand in front of everybody. We haven't seen those kind of miracles. There's no point. You know, over the years, I've been a Christian for 40 years. You hear people say, oh, we're like Jesus. We're not like Jesus. We're on the way. We're not like Jesus. A man with a withered hand. And I like the boldness. You know, if you're not operating at a particular level, you can't do it. You just stand there. You just stand there. In front of the whole church. You just stand there. this is my message this morning. Is it right to heal on the Sabbath or not right? He said, okay. Brother, stretch your hand. In front of everybody. Brand new hand. Give the Lord a clap. We are going to see it all.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind, I will see it. I will not be satisfied with anything less. Woman bowed over for 18 years. Said, ought not this woman, who is also a daughter of Abraham. He said, he lays down and she immediately. See, that's the difference between spirit with measure and spirit without measure. Spirit with measure is instant. You know what I said? You know what the people said? The common people and all that, they were so excited. They said, is not this the son of David? He said, we have never so seen it in Israel. They had read what Elijah did. They had read what Elisha did, but they have never seen anything like this. They said, he doeth all things well. They will say it about you. They will say it about me. But it will not happen without the fruit of the Spirit. Otherwise, you become a tyrant. I can imagine some of us, it will not happen in Jesus' name. You know, and God trusts you with that. He initially borrowed anointing. You know, they're going to use it to make money. But the person who has the fruit of the, who's developed fruit, will not do that. Because love does not, it's not self-seeking. You will be like Jesus. Say, man, 38 years. Paralyzed. Can't walk. People were going to the well, to the pool of Siloam. But the man, by the time he gets there, somebody else would have got there. The angel would have, and the miracle would have happened. They have to wait another until next year. Jesus comes to this guy. These are the things I've learned about him that I admire. That I understand why I have to develop and perfect the fruit of the Spirit. He comes unobtrusively. No noise. Nobody even knew what was happening. He spoke to the guy privately. He said, Honorable, will thou be made whole? The man said, I won't. But there's no, you know, before I can get there, somebody would have gone there. You know. He just looked at him and said, okay, you know what? Take up your bed. Get up. Instant. And Jesus, no noise. People say, is it not you? Well, I've been sick all these years. You're carrying your bed. Don't you know today is the Sabbath? Stupid people. Of all the things they could think of. Hey, Sabbath, you're carrying your bed. You're walking out. He said, the person that made me whole told me to carry my bed. And I carried it and I'm walking. Instead of them to be rejoicing. You know, the man didn't know it was Jesus. He didn't know his name. He didn't know. It was later on that God, Jesus now sees him in the temple, because there's always a lot of people, you know, and says, behold, thou art made whole. I like this love, kindness, you know, gentleness. He said, behold, you are made whole. He says, sin no more, lest it was sin. It means part of the problem was sin. But you know, he didn't condemn him and beat him over the head with it. He healed him. He didn't stick his sin in his face. I'm sure he had a word of wisdom, word of knowledge about it. But he healed him anyway. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Healed him anyway. Now, sin no more. Lest the worst thing happen. And then he disappeared. So later on, it was that rabbi. And said, they persecuted. Oh, you're Leo, brother William. But get ready, the same thing is going to happen to you. Say amen, say amen. Say amen. Jesus said, if they have done it to me, they will do it to you. I'm ready for that, that's okay. That's nothing compared to the glory. Are you listening to me? That's the glory of the power of God. Then we all know, raising Lazarus from the dead. It is miracles at that level that is going to shut the mouth of the world. We've had miracles and we still have miracles. But you know, many of our miracles are tabishugbon.
You know what I mean?
In our language, that means, you know, yes or no. There were some great miracles that happened. But you know, I want something that is, you know, the Bible says, hey, these people have done a notable miracle and we cannot deny it. We don't want something that is contested. We don't want something that people can argue about. You cannot argue with a withered hand that grows out. However unbelieving you are. Hello? Hello? You cannot argue with someone that has been in the grave for 4 days and jumps out. And you know, I want to tell you something. It's going to happen. It's in our lives. Yeah, we're going to see these miracles. You know what's going to happen? Most of the Christians will run. Oh my God. You know, the carnal mind is afraid of the glory. There's going to be the glory of the wisdom of God. Incredible photographic memory. Language learning ability. Artistic, mathematical, musical. The Bible says, and God gave Solomon great breadth of mind like the sand at the seashore. The Holy Spirit was trying to give us an indication of the mental capacity. So he used something like the sand that is you cannot measure. The other day I shared with us from Psalm 147. He says his understanding is infinite. He counts the stars by name. That's the kind of mind God is going to give you.
Amen.
That's the glory of the wisdom of God. So we will do physical miracles, intellectual miracles, political miracles, economic miracles, environmental miracles. Men will open their mouth and they will close it like this. You to a desert where there is Hamatan and all kinds of things, and you will speak God's word, and the weather condition will change instantly.
Yeah.
Where there has been climate change problem, we will get there and we will, like Moses in Egypt, we will speak God's word and the whole thing will change. They will measure the temperature, they will check everything, and they will find it's exact. And you say, just a nice courtesy token from our God. He loves you. And we walk away. We don't take up an offering. You see, we won't need to take up an offering because we'll already be rich. It's a poverty mentality that makes you look for every opportunity to get to get money from people. When God has made you rich, then you will be lending to nations. You're not trying to get from them. You are giving to them and say, this is what you know, you can have that. Just a token from our God. Just a token of kindness from our God. Now repent. You know they'll listen to us? Because they will respect you. I got to close. That's why you need to develop the king. Carry the glory of God in the way in which I've described. How do you develop the fruit of the Spirit? And I go spiritual and then I close. How do you develop? Think about it. Apple, guava, mango. If you want fruit, any kind of seed, water, harvest. Simple. Same thing. Do you know what you're doing every day? If you have been doing it, and if you have not been doing it, repent now! You know you should be planting the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit in your life daily. I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Take time and say it one by one because you want all of it. Then you should be confessing that 1 Corinthians 13 every day. Lord, I endure long and I'm patient and kind. You know what you're doing? You are planting the seed and you are watering it. It will grow. It will grow. Now the last thing you need to do, pray in the Spirit. And I'll tell you the reason why. Mommy touched on it this morning when I was ministering during the Bible study. She used the word stifle. And she didn't know I was going to preach this. But she picked it by the Spirit accurately. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, it says that the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, and the lust, everyone say lusts. The Bible talks about the lust of the flesh. Here it just summarizes, it just says the lust of other things. You know what they do? They enter in and choke the word, or stifle. And it becomes what? Everybody shout it. What can destroy the fruit of the Spirit in your life if you allow those things? Everybody say the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. Or you can say covetousness. You know, loss of other things. If you let them enter your heart, they will abort the development of the fruit of the Spirit. And I have to say, I've been a pastor for 40 years. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've been a pastor, at least scripture pastor. You know, I've been in ministry for almost 40 years. But I've been a pastor for 35. You know, it will be 36 years next year in 2020. I've been around to some degree to the glory of God. You know, I've seen this in so many Christian lives. The fruit of the Spirit is stifled, is choked. People get, that's what he was warning the Ephesians about. They get involved in activity, cares of this world, disciplines of riches, lots of other things, and secular ambition. He wants to lost pride, the pride of life and all that kind of thing. And you know what? Because of that, it enters in and it chokes it. So the fruit is not developed. If I were to do a census, and I mentioned this earlier on today. Every Christian, when you get born again, all the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit are inside you. Amen. Automatic. Because you're a child of God. You understand? The question now is, does it develop? Does it develop? Some people, it starts developing to a small degree. Then they get distracted by these other things. Those things enter in, it chokes the word. That which was developed becomes withered. A large number of Christians today have undeveloped fruit. I will not say withered, but undeveloped. It's there, but it's stunted. That is why they easily snap. They are easily irritated. They easily get offended. They get irritable. They easily, they find it difficult to forgive. Hello. Hello. They are all traits of undeveloped fruit. That's why the title of this message is Developing the Fruit of the Spirit. We have it. Many Christians who are not backslidden, who have not gone back into the world, who come to church, who read their Bible, who pray, have the fruit of the Spirit, but most cases is not developed. So put a little pressure and the flesh will come out. Anger, pride, envy, jealousy. That must change in 2020.
Amen.
And the decade that is coming.
Amen.
If you don't have any other project, have this one. You must, everybody turn to your neighbor. You and I must. We didn't say can. Say must. 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 Develop the fruit of the Spirit. And all of it. Love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness. You're giving, and the person that you know, who you want to do it for something, they make things difficult, then you give up. That's not a faithful person. A faithful person will stick with it until it's done. Irrespective of the difficulties and all of that that come with it. And difficulties come. That's the test of faithfulness. Difficulties will come. You know, some people are irritable. Some people are difficult people to work with. But God says stay. You can't do without developed fruit. Your fruit is not developed, you will say, oh. Didn't God stay with Abraham for 14 years after the birth of Ishmael? Ishmael was not in the plan. God had every reason. God just developed. Now when he comes to talk to him, he doesn't even condemn him. He just says, that nonsense that you did, you better stop it. Walk before me and be upright. And doesn't, you know, I just try and put myself in God's position. If it was most of us, we would have loaded down on Sarah. But of course, but nonsense, yeah. Was not you told your husband to go and you know, we don't hear God say anything. It's not as if he didn't know. It's because develop fruit. He had a plan. Sarah must have Isaac. If I stay on the negative, she might completely collapse. So I have to create an environment for her to thrive. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. The fruit of the Spirit. Develop it. Especially those ones that are not too popular. Most people know joy. Most people know peace. You know, but what of patience? What of long suffering? What of, I like one, gentleness. How gentle are you? Kindness. How kind are you? I just got another tweet from heaven. You know what he said? He said that, be like your Father who is in heaven, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. It's Matthew chapter 5. The tweet just came. See, he's not kind to the good, he's kind to the unthankful and the evil. That's developed fruit. How can I be kind to somebody who is unthankful and evil, yet I'm kind to him? That you might be like your Father which is in heaven. That's what the Bible says. It says, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I'm going to close. Last scripture. What's the solution to this stifling? To this choking? Very simple. It's the Spirit. Isaiah 59. You know what it says? It says, when the enemy shall come in, he's coming in to choke the word. He's coming in to stifle the fruit. He said, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against it. That is why after the confession, after the watering, you must pray in tongues. You now release the power of the Spirit and it pushes out all that lust of the flesh, all that cares of this world, all that deceitfulness of riches. Amen. You push it out. So that's what happens in the natural when you weed and you put fertilizer. Amen. So that nothing happens to the seed, so that it will bring forth fruit. The Holy Ghost is your fertilizer. Amen. And your weed killer. Amen. Don't put the Holy Ghost, you know. That's why a lot of Christians have undeveloped fruit. They don't pray much in the Spirit. And when they pray in the Spirit, it's for miracle. Don't let me go there. Miracle or fire on their enemies. Holy Ghost fire. You see them dancing. A bomb can do for you. You know not what spirit you are. You're supposed to use the Spirit of God to develop your fruit, not to kill your enemies. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Did you have something else? Hmm? Okay. You're supposed to use the power of the Holy Spirit to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Actually, it's the fruit of the human spirit, but it's empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not to fire your enemies and finish everybody. That's why God can't trust you with any amount of power, any appreciable amount of power. And even when He gives the gifts of the Spirit, He gives you just for a short time and takes it away before you kill everybody. Talk to God, talk to God, talk to God. 2020 is going to be a different year. It's going to be a year of the development of the fruit of the Spirit. Ah, by this time next year, you'll be a champion. You'll be kind. You'll be patient. You'll be long-suffering. You'll be gentle. You'll be full of joy and peace. You won't be quick to talk. You won't be quick to condemn. You will see evil and you will pray about it and deal with the person as if there's no evil. Like Jesus dealt with the woman at the well. An adulteress. Five, not three. Not one. Five husbands. In fact, there were six. And then the one she was sleeping with, you know, Jesus didn't go there. He knew. He said, "You have told me the truth a little bit. He has not. He said, you have no husband. It's true. So you have had five husbands. And the one you are sleeping with now is not your husband. But I've got good news to you. I've come to give you the water of eternal life. That's how you and I should be." Does it mean we don't talk about sin? We do. You know, but never from a condemnatory point of view, but from a redemptive point of view. For He has given us the ministry of reconciliation, not the ministry of condemnation. It's the developed fruit that will make you always look for reconciliation, not condemnation. Even when there's sin. Point the sin out, but show them the way out. Now, your God is Savior who will forgive the sin. Now, come on. Clean up, clean up, clean up. God wants to help you. That's God's nature.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Lord, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Move! Glory to God.
Today, some new work.
New Mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for bringing to my attention the urgent need of developing all of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I thank you for the fruit I have now. But I understand that I must develop it much more. You said you want us to have more fruit. You want us to have perfect fruit. So that we can ask what we will and it will be done unto us. Father, have mercy on me. As 2019 ends and 2020 begins, by your mercy and by your grace, I determine to develop the fruit of the Spirit in my life, to make it my earnest quest, to make it what I will be running after, because I know that the more I become like in my character, the greater power and responsibility you can trust me with, and by extension the greater blessing and good I can do to my human being, to my fellow human beings. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, help me to keep this in focus every day as I pray. Help me to focus on the fruit of the Spirit and love, using your blood, your word, and your Spirit to develop the fruit of the Spirit in my life. So that the fruit of the Spirit, we dominate my will in humility, my emotions, and my circumstances, and my mind. So I will think like God. I will speak like God. I will feel like God. I will act like God automatically in every circumstance and situation, to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name. Mercy, Lord. Mercy. In Jesus' name. Let's share the benediction. Join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gate of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation in the perfection of fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.